T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Peterson hits a drive, right center field and deep, back toward the wall, it's got a chance, gone! Anthony drives one, deep right field, it's got a chance, gone! Home run, Rizzo!
That's what we've been waiting for here at the Friendly Confines for a year and a half.
Here's a swing and a fly ball, deep right field, back goes Edmund, near the wall, it's got a chance, it's off the wall and bouncing back toward the infield. One run is in. Mariznick heading to the plate. He will score. The stretch for the 1-2. Kimbrel fires. Swing and a miss. Strike 3. The Cubs win the ball game.
Puppies.
And now your host, Chris Ronji.
It is not Chris Ronji. It's Ed Farmer alongside Darren Jackson. Glenn, as Chris Ronji is on other duties right now.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Chris, looking to attend a live hockey game.
Hi, I'm Chris, looking to attend a hockey game.
Well, hold on 1 minute, Chris. Let me have a large Sprite heavy ice. Come on.
Heck, man.
You know what? You know
what? Man.
That's it. You broke Ronji now. Way to go.
Well, yeah, he's been broke all day.
He's a hard reboot.
Oh, I need to be better at my job.
I would, you know what? It's far too late for that.
And now your host, Chris Ronji.
It is really horrible. What do you want me to do about it? There's not much I can, and there's not much you can do about this. I'm here until 9 o'clock. Hello, my people. My people are you. Hi, Chris. That's me. You are you, and you're listening to The Score, and we thank you for doing that. Again, until 9, and this is a huge day in Chicago. Like, okay, so there's a lot happening this week. This day in particular is a big day for the city. It was a big day for the Cubs as they begin a series against their biggest division rival, the team that was supposed to be the division winner, at least at the beginning of the season. Everybody thought that's what was going to happen. And I guess it still could. I mean, there's a lot of season left to go, but things look really good right now for the Cubs in the Central Division. As we sit here at this moment, just after 6 o'clock on Friday, June 11th, the Cubs are in first place in the National League Central. But it's not just that. It's not just the baseball. There's a lot that is going on. This is I don't want to overstate how important today is, but it's kind of hard to overstate how important today is when you consider everything that's happened over the last, 15 months, I guess, 14, 15 months for all of us. We just went through, I don't need to remind you. Hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a pandemic. And I know that you don't need to be reminded of how terrible most of 2020 was and everything we went through. And some people had it much worse than others. Some people lost people in their lives. Some people got really sick. Some people lost jobs. A lot of terrible things happened over the last year. And while things have slowly started to come back a little bit to normal, everything's not 100% normal, but we are slowly getting there thanks to this vaccine. Today is one of those days that everything just kind of feels right. And not that this is the best day we've had in 15 years. In 15 months. I'm sure that people along the way have had some really good days. But today feels different because the city is open. The city, based on the guidance they are getting from, the health professionals, the people who know what they're talking about, everything's open. Today is the first day of that. Today is the first day of the city of Chicago, one of the great summer cities in the world, is open. It's the first day it's been open since the middle of March last year. So everything about today is just, there's just a different feel with this day. And maybe you don't quite feel the same way. Maybe you've been living your life as if nothing's wrong. Everything's, you know, normal, and I don't care about anything else. Everything's fine to me. But in reality, in real life, this is a big day for all of us in the city. It's a big day for anybody who has been, I think we've all been waiting for this moment, but for things to be opened up, for there to not really be any social distancing requirements. And it's not to say the private businesses aren't going to force you to do it or expect you to do it when you come into their property. They're private businesses. They can ask you to do whatever they want you to do, and if you don't like it, you can just leave. But they are not required to any longer. There are no capacity limits for the bars and the restaurants and the gyms and larger venues like Wrigley Field. And while there have been ball games all baseball season long with people in the stands, both at Sox Park, Guaranteed Rate Field, and at Wrigley Field all year, there's a pretty big difference between 10,000 people and 40,000 people. And today was the first day we got 40,000 people in a ballpark. And you probably could not have ordered up a better Cubs game than what you got today. If you're a Cubs fan, you went down to that ballpark. You've got your division rival, your biggest rival in the game, and one of the biggest rivalries in sports. You had that today, and you got a comeback win, and you got some really, truly exciting moments within the game on a nice day, a nice weather day in Chicago. And it just kind of feels like the floodgates are sort of opening up, doesn't it? When the requirements are gone, this feels like everything is fine. Like there's a sense of relief that comes with today. And then on top of it, you got this series. And on top of that, you get the win in this series at this ballpark today. And you've got Sox baseball going on. And you get a further look this week of Justin Fields, who is going to save the Bears. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if anybody tells me not to put too much pressure on him or tells anybody else, don't put the weight of the world on Justin Fields. I'm doing it anyway. He is going to save the Bears. And here's the good news. We're going to talk about that with Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times. And as I look at the guest list, we are pillaging the Chicago Sun-Times tonight. We are talking to everybody who works there, I think. So Potash will join us at 7 o'clock to talk some Bears football as the OTAs, the second week of that happening this week. Also, Jared Willis, who covers the Cubs, he will talk to us about the team that is currently in first place in the National League Central. And then we have a little bit of Bulls news as well with the surgery for Coby White and Joe Cowley, who covers the Bulls for the Sun-Times, will join us at 8:40 tonight. The number to visit with us, and I hope that you do, 312-644-6767. That is the Score listener line, and it is brought to you by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That number is also the number you use to text the show, 312-644-6767. Hello, I am here, and I will take your text messages. I will look over them, and maybe I will read them. Maybe I will read them angrily and respond to whatever it is you, whatever nonsense you have for me. I might read it, and I might comment on it and maybe I will tell you to never text me again and to leave me alone. Probably not, but it's possible. You can also tweet at me at Chris Rongey, R-O-N-G-E-Y. Producing the show this evening is Mike Rankin. It's the first time we've ever worked together. Hello, Michael. How are you?
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Mike.
How are you, sir?
I feel amazing. How do you feel?
I am all into this Cubs team right now. I can't help it. This is the most excited I've been since the, I don't know, mid-portion of 2018, mid to late portion of 2018.
Okay, so you are, correct me if I'm wrong, you're more of a Sox fan, correct?
Yeah, we could say that, sure.
Okay. And it's okay. I know there are people that have these hard rules that you cannot root for both teams. I think that's fine. If you want to hate one of the teams, that's fine too. I don't care. You can hate the Cubs. You can hate the Sox. It's kind of more fun when you do that, I think. You know, when there's just another team you despise and you love to hate them, I think that's okay. But if you can feel pretty good about the success of both teams in town, that's all right, too.
Well,
I don't care.
You and I know you're a big baseball guy. I love baseball myself. The fact that there's two Chicago baseball teams in town that I could follow and keep an eye on. Yeah, sometimes it's fun to clown on the one that's losing more so. But, man, they're both competitive. And it's fascinating where the Cubs are specifically right now. And I know the White Sox have a ton going on with them. But, man, you have a bridge type season going on here that they're competing during, and it's making it very difficult on the front office to make a decision whether to lean one way or the other, and then to commit to the dollars of the guys internally as well as try and maybe add at the deadline as opposed to what maybe a lot of people had in mind prior to the start of the season. Just keep winning. That's what I like to see, and make it really difficult on Jed Hoyer and the rest of them to make it even more interesting this year.
I totally agree with you, and part of this is that before the season started, and again, I know we are approaching the middle of June, so we're not even halfway through the season yet. I was saying that I think the Cubs are going to be better than people think they're going to be. That a lot of us preseason just sort of assumed that because of the trade of Yu Darvish, which, by the way, you'd love to have that thing back. You would love to have that deal back and not do that now. Because he would look great in that rotation and would help things out a tremendous deal. But nothing you can do about it now. He is gone. Despite that, and despite all of the discussion of we don't really have the money, and obviously I'm paraphrasing, but we don't have the money. This is not going to be one of those go out and buy kind of off seasons, and things are a little tight around here because of debts or whatever the team has. And, the debts are, by the way, the debts the Cubs have are eventually going to make a lot of money for them. So it's not like these are franchise-killing debts they are dealing with. They are ultimately going to make money on these projects that surround the ballpark, if they're not already. And obviously, people being in the building makes a huge difference. But despite all of that, despite the calls to temper your enthusiasm or your expectation for what they might do with the roster, despite the Yu Darvish deal, I thought this team would be pretty good. Not great, but within the context of the National League Central, which is not a very good division, I thought this team might be better than y'all realize. And it so far, again, not halfway through the season yet, but we're sort of seeing that bear out. That's the case. As I mentioned to start the show, the Cubs right now are a half game up in the Central, right in front of the Milwaukee Brewers. The team that everybody, for the most part, and, I guess it's never 100%, but 90-plus percent of prognosticators thought the Cardinals are going to win the division. And that's still possible. I mean, they're only four games back, but they're four games back. I don't think that the expectation was, at this point of the season, that's where they would be, that they would be in much better position than they are right now. And they're only a game over 500. They're four games back. The Cubs, as I mentioned, have this lead, and they look good. They're a flawed team. Let's make no mistake about that. But so is every team in this division. Every single team in the National League Central is a flawed team. And you know what that does? it opens the door for the Cubs to win this division. And now it puts them in, as Mike said, a very interesting position. And I talked a little bit about this last week on Hit and Run on Sunday when I filled in for Spiegs, that they are now in a position where you might even consider not trading away at the deadline, but making an addition at the deadline. Now, I wouldn't expect any sort of significant move to happen. You're not talking about any cornerstone players you're going to be trading for at the deadline, even if it's in the rotation. It's probably not going to happen. But maybe you find some kind of help. Maybe you find something to bolster this roster, because there's a legitimate chance of winning this division. And it's not just adding, it's not subtracting. That might be the key to what the Cubs are the rest of the way, is not subtracting from the roster.
Chris, when you talked about prior to the start of the season, I mean, even after the Darvish trade, it's like, well, this team could be better than what we expect. And then the Cubs went out and made some interesting signings. They brought back Arrieta. They got Trevor Williams, a starter who could get you innings, at least a guy that at the early portion of the season can get you by. And then they added some bats in Jake Marisnyk and Jock Peterson, as well as as we're seeing now, the role players who have stepped up that nobody really expected. And it puts them in a position now that says, wow, this kind of worked despite moving on from the ace of our staff. And that, again, goes back to the point where you were making, is it makes it difficult, because I think the next guy, that at least for me, that I think about is what are they going to do with Craig Kimbrell? Do they want to keep him? Do they want to capitalize on the value that they have right now and think to the future? It's very murky, but if they continue to win, I think it's very hard to sell the fan base should they decide to move anyone in terms of, you know, to sell to build for later.
And I have thoughts on exactly that, what you're talking about. So let's do that when we come back. What the Cubs might do, and again, we're celebrating what is a really monumental day in Chicago with the reopening of everything. It feels like one of the best days we've had in over a year. And that's not to say you haven't had any good days along the way, but there's a sense of relief that comes with today, with the ballpark being fully open, with the city being fully open, no restrictions on anything unless private businesses want to. And then you have this series starting at Wrigley Field. It's just, it is such an important day in the city of Chicago. Sox are playing too. You know, hey, White Sox are at it. Justin Fields is here to save us. So much great stuff happening. But I do have some thoughts on that, what Mike is talking about with this roster and what happens with the trade deadline. There's still some distance between now and then, but it's approaching and some decisions have to be made. If you want to visit with us, love to hear from you. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We're broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I'm Chris Ronji, till 9 on the Score.
And the pitch on the way. Anthony drives one. Deep right field. It's got a chance. Gone. Home run, Rizzo.
That's what we've been waiting for here at the Friendly Confines for a year and a half. Rizzo just wins that battle.
The ball game is tied 5-5. A line drive home run just under the auxiliary video board in right. It left the park in a hurry.
Well, that man had an interesting day. Anthony Rizzo started his day by admitting to Dave Kaplan and Jay Hood that he has not been vaccinated and is not going to be vaccinated on a team that is not at the 85% threshold, which would open things up for them in terms of their protocols, and as Jed Hoyer has said, irrefutably give them a competitive advantage if they were to get to that level, but they're probably not going to. So he starts with that, and then later in the afternoon, he has a 14-pitch at-bat, and he puts one over the fence to tie the game at 5. The Cubs go on to win and beat the Cardinals 8-5 at Wrigley Field. this afternoon. It is the opener of a series against the Cardinals on the north side, and it is the beginning of a series that's important. And as we've already mentioned today, this is all happening. The backdrop is things are open in Chicago, and it's an important day that way, that we are back to being allowed to do things. Well, I mean, you could do things for a while, but now there are no restrictions on businesses and 40,000 people plus at the ballpark at Wrigley today. And we're going to see on the south side on the 25th, there's going to be full capacity there for the White Sox. So we're all moving in a very good direction, which is, and that's the dichotomy here, is that we're able to do this because of the vaccine. And here's a guy who's refusing to get the vaccine for, I don't really even know what reason that is happening. That's what Anthony Rizzo has decided. He came up big today, though. He got the hit, the big hit. It evened up the game, and then the Cubs go on to win. Very important game for them. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. I said I had some thoughts about the Cubs and making a deal at the deadline, Craig Kimbrell, for example, being a possibility for trade if this were a team that was not in contention right now. But what do you do if you're this team and you think you're in this transitional period, or have basically said you're in this transitional period before you really truly think you're going to be competitive again, but you're competitive now and you have three premier free agents that are going to be available after this season? What do you do? And then, like I said, like Mike said, you have guys like Kimbrell who are pitching really well and are available, and a lot of teams would be looking for a guy like that at the trade deadline. But if you're the Cubs, and it's me that gets to make these decisions, nobody's going anywhere. Not when things look the way they look this year for this team in this division. When you have an opportunity to win the division and to get to the playoffs, and it's not just an outside chance. Look, if the Cubs end up winning the National League Central, it's not an outside chance anymore. It's real. It's a legitimate opportunity for them to go to the playoffs this year and to take this division. Yeah, sure, part of it is because the rest of the division isn't elite. But who cares? Get to the playoffs. That's what matters. You can still go through your transitional period next year. Maybe you'd be able to make deals during this deadline that would jumpstart things. But I doubt just how much you would be able to do to really get your franchise going in the right direction by trading guys who are going to be free agents in a few months. How much do you really think you're going to get back in return? I question teams being able and willing to give those kinds of players up at the deadline for players who are not under contract for beyond this season. Oh, if it's me, we're riding this thing out. If it still kind of looks like this leading up to the deadline, Cubs have to go for it. And by go for it, I mean not tear it apart any more than they have so far. And it hasn't been a full teardown. They've just traded a piece here and there. And as Mike did mention, Mike Rankin, our producer, mentioning the acquisitions during the offseason, the Jake Arrieta types and Trevor Williams and guys like that. None of these are moves that teams typically do when they think they're on the verge of being really good. I mean, you contrast this with what they did prior to the World Series season. You know, the acquisitions they made were like John Lackey and John Lester. You know, guys like that, who you already knew were established and were elite at what they did. Lester in particular. And those are guys that came in to help you win a World Series. And that's how it worked out. These were the signings they made during the offseason, the acquisitions they made during the offseason. They're not placeholders, but they were moves that if they worked out, then that would be good for you. But I don't think there was an expectation they were going to put them over the top. That's not what those were. Very similar to Carlos Rodon on the south side. That acquisition, much like Arrieta, though they're not exactly the same situations, but their similarity in, hey, if these work out for us, they could turn out to be really good. And so far, it's worked out for both sides of town. To different degrees, but it has worked out for both sides of town. I said we'd take your calls. Let's do that. 312-644-6767. Let's start things off with Jose in Willow Springs. Hello, Jose.
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
Listen, I just wanted to call in because I am a little bit of the I'm the Rizzo apologist here. You know,
okay.
I feel like he's been getting a little bit of a hard time about admitting to not take the vaccine and everything. As a parent of three, you know, I can respect the fact that he wants, you know, him and his wife, they're trying to have kids. And, you know, as I was, you know, speaking, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the screener, it reminds me of, and this is going back, you know, a little bit, Donald Rumsfeld, something he said he got criticized for after, you know, 9/11, when we were going into, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan and stuff. He said that there's known knowns, there's known unknowns, and there's unknown unknowns. In other words, there's things that we know. There's things that we know that we don't know, and then there's things that we don't know that we don't know. In other words, I understand that the science is what it is, and that, you know, the FDA and the CDC and the government and everyone's saying that it's fine and it's healthy and it's not going to have any side effects, or they're going to be minimal, or the, you know, the benefits outweigh the potential, you know, negative side effects. But the truth is that we've never been in the situation. We've never had this pandemic before. We've never had this vaccine before. And for Rizzo to come out and say that he doesn't want to take it because him and his wife are trying to have kids and they don't know how it's going to necessarily affect their ability to have kids or maybe the kids themselves, you know, I think that's, I mean, he's being honest, and I think he's, you know, trying to, like, just, you know, be direct and so forth. I don't think he's being, like, you know, ignorant about it, although some people are saying that, you know, that he is ignorant because of the fact that he's not taking it. And I don't know, I just kind of felt like he's been given a little bit of a hard, you know, it's been a, I don't know, whatever. I don't know him, you know, but I hear a lot of negativity or a lot of criticism of him not taking it. And I kind of get it. But at the same time, it's also one of those situations where it's like, you know, he's got the freedom to take it or not to take it. And if his personal situation is, you know, it is what it is. And if he doesn't feel that it's a good idea and him and his wife are on the same page, then, you know, I don't have any problem with that.
Okay. Jose, I appreciate the phone call. Yes, it is his right to make the decision. He cannot be forced to do it or to not do it. I think his reasoning is lousy. Whatever his reasoning is, there are people who are highly allergic to vaccines or compounds that are used in vaccines in general. My mom is one of them, and she's highly allergic to a lot of things. She still got the damn thing. And it was a little hard on her, but here's the benefit on the other end of it. She's protected from this. And every one of us that is protected, that is better for everybody else. And I think where this argument loses me is everybody likes to say things like, we're in this together. Okay, well, if that's true, then you have to realize what you do affects other people. What you don't do affects other people. It's not just your personal choice. Wearing a suit and tie to work is a personal choice for some people. And hell, in some places, it is required. It is not a personal choice to decide to get a vaccine, a measles vaccine, or a COVID vaccine, a thing that literally shut down much of our lives for the last year. And we have this freaking miracle. It's not a miracle, actually, because this technology they've been using has been in the works for a long time before this even started. They just were able to tailor it to the specific disease we're working with now, the specific virus we're working with now. It doesn't take a whole lot of reading to see this. I mean, this is all out there and available for you to look at.
For me, it's just one of those things where I'm definitely not against getting it. It's just, I think, said all along to our doctors, just taking some more time to see the data on all of it. you know, there's some personal, definitely personal reasons as well, but it's just one of those things where as we continue to get more data, continue to be more educated on it. And I love that everyone gets vaccinated. I'm for it. I think it's really amazing to see everyone back in the stands and back into normal. This is bigger than baseball. This is a life decision. This isn't a career decision right now. And it's definitely, like I said, it weighed hard. It's a decision that I made and I stand with. And obviously there's people that are going to hate me and think I'm disgusting. And there's going to be people that side with me, but it's out in the open. I try to keep everything personal, but as far as being a leader on this team, you go out there every day and play your best baseball. Don't be an idiot off the field and just continue to be smart and be aware of everything going on.
I don't think Anthony Rizzo in any way is disgusting. I just think this is a lousy decision, and it might be thought out, but it's poorly thought out. Nobody has to do this. Nobody's going to tell him he has to. Nobody is forced to do it, but everybody should do it because that's how we get out of this. Nobody asked to be in the middle of a pandemic. None of us did. I didn't go into 2020 expecting to someday have to be vaccinated because of what we were about to experience. But you know what? It's civic duty. I went and did the damn thing because I want to be out of this pandemic. I don't want to be doing this anymore. I don't want to have that threat. I want to end it. And here's how you end it. We were given a way out. And it seems nonsensical to me to not take the way out, the easy, free way out. Whatever. I mean, you're not going to do it. And when people use the argument of we don't have the data, look, people who say that, it's such a disingenuous argument because to a man, I bet every one of those people, no amount of data will make them happy. We gotta look at the data first. More, you're not looking at the data every day. Give me a break with this crap. Listen to people who do know the data and do understand it and are telling you these things are safe and go by what they are telling you. Data, we don't have enough. Stop with this crap.
You said it, Chris.
It's just,
I mean, what,
nonsensical.
We need it to get back into society, or else the threat is still going to loom large, and you're still at risk. You know, and then it'll never end.
And people say this, well, if you're afraid, stay at home. Well, okay, what about people I care about who have had to stay at home for a year? Why can't I do the bare minimum so that they don't have to stay at home all the damn time? You know, like the less this thing is out there circulating, the less likely it is somebody I care about gets it and gets really sick from it. So why wouldn't we just do the easy freaking thing and get it done? It was a no-brainer to me. And, for somebody who has been sick, like really sick, I'm surprised that he is taking this stance. And has had, if I'm not mistaken, he's had chemotherapy, right? Chemo is awful for you. It's awful for your body, but it's about the only thing we have to combat cancer. I mean, there are other newer treatments that are coming out, but, you know, this is the technology we have. And it is, I promise you, chemotherapy for your body is way worse than a vaccine will ever be. Radiation for your body is way worse than a vaccine will ever be. And yet we do it because you have to. It's a thing that you have to do if you want to live. If you want to beat cancer, it's a thing that you got to do to live. And I don't know the specifics of all of the treatment he had when he was recovering, and it's awesome that he did come back from it. But, I mean, you're putting some volatile stuff in your body when you're coming back from that. So it's an interesting way to look at this thing, which is almost entirely harmless. Like a handful of people, percentage-wise, had any really serious effects from this, from any of these vaccines, and we're not doing it? Like, this is our way out. This is... The reason we're able to have 40-plus thousand people at Wrigley Field today is because of the people who have gotten the vaccine. Why can't you just be part of that? You can do what you want. Do what you want. Hey, you're going to be selfish. You do what you want. You're going to come up with these nonsensical reasons like, I don't have enough data yet. I don't know what's in it. Oh, yeah, okay. Nothing's ever going to be good for you. Nothing. People who say that... There will never be satisfaction with the amount of data they get. Never. They're just not going to do it. They don't want to do it. It's probably ideological for most of them. They just don't want to do it. So they're not going to do it. Fine, don't do it. The rest of us will, and we'll drag your asses up with us because you're not going to help. So then we'll do it. And guess what? When it, I had the Johnson & Johnson shot, and I felt like butt for about, you know, 12 hours, and then it was over. But I'm protected, and my mom is protected, and my aunt who had cancer is protected, and people that I care about are protected. They got it done too. I don't understand all of this, all of these mental gymnastics people are doing to try and avoid doing it. I mean, whatever, you do what you have to. The rest of us will help, and then you can just be you and selfish and whatever. And that's really all it comes down to. I'm sorry. I think people are not going to like hearing that, but prove me wrong. Tell me that it's not that, because it sure as hell feels that way. That really brought us down from the good day that was happening. Like, there was some good stuff happening today, right? Rizzo came through. Rizzo, he failed, and then he came through. He came through in a big way with a big home run at Wrigley Field today. And the Cubs get that win. And we got two baseball teams in town that are in first place in their divisions on June 11th. This is great. And as we go back to the discussion that Mike and I had at the top of the show, it's okay to enjoy when both teams in town are good. And I will tell you this. It's also okay to enjoy the misery of the other team if you want to. You can do that. But there's something really, truly great about being in Chicago in the middle of the summer when both teams are competitive, when both teams are good, and that's where we are right now. The Cubs and the Sox are both good teams, and this is great. 312-644-6767 is the phone number, and again, as we continue the Cubs discussion about what they should do, when this deadline, as it is approaching us now, I mean, it's coming up. I mean, we're still some time away, but some decisions are going to have to be made soon. Don't you just roll with this? You got to roll with this team, right? If they're a half game up, a half game out, couple of games back, you got to roll with this team, don't you? 312-644-6767. Chris Ron on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
The stretch for the 1-2. Kimbrel fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. The Cubs win the ball game. A breaking ball gets him. The crowd goes wild. The Cubs start to congratulate one another. And the Cubs win game one.
Big win at Wrigley for the Cubs. First of a three-game series against their division rival that puts them a half game up in the National League Central right now. You got to keep that team intact. Unless things totally fall apart in the next few weeks. We're here June 11th. The trade deadline is the 31st of next month, so we're about a month and a half away from that. But you're going to have to decide within the next 3 to 4 weeks. Probably at minimum, if you're going to make a deal. I mean, I think, look, if you're leading up to the trade deadline, you're going to know a week or two out from that, at least, if you're going to make a deal. It just may not get executed until right leading up to it. May not happen until the day before or the day of. But the Cubs are going to have this decision made about whether or not they're going to stick with the roster they have, maybe add a little something here. And I don't know what you go for. I mean, any team can use relief help, but this Cubs bullpen has been pitching well. And maybe something will materialize over the next 3 weeks as a need. Something that will pop up. And I'm talking about reasonable needs here. Of course, every team needs a cornerstone in the lineup. I mean, like, everybody needs that. You can always use more offense. You could always use more starting pitching, but it usually is that relief help is the easier thing to acquire at the deadline. So maybe they could bolster a bullpen that's already pretty good. Who knows? There are a lot of different things that can happen. Injuries can happen between now and then, but the way I see it, looking at this team and the way they're playing now, knowing the competition they're going up against in the division, why would you not stick with this? Why would you not ride it out at least stick with this roster. And then you make some hard decisions in the offseason. I am all for that. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. And a lot of people have thoughts on this and on the Anthony Rizzo situation, who had a, again, quite an eventful day. He admitted to not being vaccinated earlier in the day, which, by the way, I think people are forgetting this, and a lot of hate coming in on the text line. Don't you tell him what to do, you idiot. Look, I'm not telling him what to do. I'm criticizing what his decision is, not just because of the public health aspect of this. And get this through your heads, folks. Your decision that you make on this affects other people, whether you realize it or not. So every time a person throws at me, well, it's their decision. Well, it's a personal choice. No, it isn't a personal choice. It's a public health choice. Whatever. That's established. That's irrefutable. You cannot argue with that. Speaking of the word irrefutable, though, it's the one Jed Hoyer used about his own team situation. And Anthony Rizzo is not the guy who's going to get them over the top with the 85% threshold they need to reach to loosen some of the protocols that they have to go through now as a team. If they get to that point and all parties involved in the know seem to think there's no chance of them reaching that point by the end of the year. But Hoyer himself, and he used the word irrefutable, it is irrefutable that it is a competitive disadvantage to not get to that 85%.
The contact tracing thing is a big deal. And I feel like when you have a positive case, but the people around you have been vaccinated, that takes away that contact tracing element to guys being out. And by not getting to 85%, we're missing that. So it's disappointing. I can't say it any other way, you know, and we've worked exceptionally hard. I know it's a part of the job that I never quite imagined, you know, that you'd be involved in that kind of education, that kind of convincing, but we haven't been able to get there. I'm not sure we're going to be able to. And like I said, yeah, yes, there's no denying the fact that Jace Tingler is right in that case. Like, it is a competitive advantage to get to 85%.
What he's talking about there is there are a number of different aspects. If the 85% threshold is there, teams as a whole can do certain things that other teams that are not to the threshold can do. But the one thing that is, to me, the most important thing from a competitive standpoint is if a player maybe doesn't test positive himself, but because of contact tracing, he was with or close to somebody who did test positive, that guy can't play. And it might only be for a game or two until they get it all sorted out, but maybe you're missing a game here and there. And you cannot ever again, if you say, well, that's not a big deal, so what? You know, he'll just be out for a game and then he'll come back. If you make that argument, you can never again use the phrase, every game counts. Never again. Drop it from your vocabulary. You're never allowed to use it again. Because either every game counts or every game does not count. So if you have a big game coming up and you want a player to be involved in that game, you know, Anthony Rizzo, for example, and he's not vaccinated, he was with somebody who tests positive, Rizzo ain't going to be able to play that day until they get it sorted out. That's a problem. And in a division that might very well be decided by a game or two, don't try to tell me that's not a big deal. Because it is. It may not end up hurting them, but it might. Why would you want to risk that, though? I just don't understand why you would want to risk that. But, hey, you go ahead and do whatever you feel comfortable. 312-644-6767. I still want to talk more about the Cubs and where they are in terms of trades and if they should do it or not. But also, I want to break for a moment and talk Bears. OTAs, at least the second week of them happening this week, we get a further look at a guy named Justin Fields, who is here to bring us to football heaven. Mark Potash with the Chicago Sun-Times covering the Bears will join us next. I'm Chris Ranji on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.